Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Pro Football Chase podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you. And joining me today is Giants linebacker Josiah Tawa-Epa. He spent four seasons as a member of the UTSA Roadrunners and redshirted his freshman year there in San Antonio. And now he plays for the New York Giants. So, Josiah, thanks for joining me today. How are you doing?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
That's good to hear, man. And so, as I kind of mentioned at the very beginning of the interview, you played at UTSA, which is the University of Texas at San Antonio. You were undrafted. You signed with the Giants in 2019. So can you briefly talk about your pre-draft process coming out of UTSA and how eventually you ended up signing with the Giants?
Yeah, so kind of going into the 2018 season of my redshirt junior year, I knew that I was going to be graduating. You know, I'd have my degree in hand that fall after the season. And, you know, I was just getting the feeling and just praying more about it. And, you know, got the sense that it was time to move on, you know, from college, even though I could have come back a year. I chose to leave, not because, you know, I felt like I was going to get drafted really high or, you know, but I felt it was just time to move on. And I had had my my time there at UTSA and really appreciated that. But it was time for the next chapter. So with that in mind, decided to declare. Was training spring of 2019, and then I was kind of waiting to hear if I would get an invite to the combine, going back and forth with my agent about that. And then the invitations were sent out and I didn't get an invite. And so I was kind of not hoping for that, obviously, but a little bit expecting that, you know, just coming from a mid-major, basically, in terms of football, you know, a newer program kind of flying under the radar. Didn't really expect an invite to the combine. So then, you know, just did all I could do on pro day. And then come draft day, or at the end of the third draft day, Giants reached out to me and me and my agent, and we worked out a deal. And yeah, and that's when I became part of the New York Giants. So then that just took us through rookie mini camp, you know, OTAs, and that was a whole different scene, whole different atmosphere. And you're kind of exposed to the business side of everything. You know, how fast things can change, how crucial every day is, how crucial every play is. You know what I mean? Someone else's job is on the line just as much as yours is. And so that aspect was a lot different, competition, this and that. And so I was, after preseason, after the four preseason games, you know, going through training camp, then preseason, after that fourth one, you know, they told me that they were going to release me, but they wanted me to, you know, sign for the practice squad. And so super excited about that opportunity, and did that. I was on the practice squad for the first 4 weeks of the season. And then there were some injuries, and then they brought me up on the active roster, 53-man. My role was primarily special teams, you know, for the 12 remaining games. So that was an awesome learning experience. And, yeah, just something that I'll always remember, that, you know, my rookie year.
Now, Josiah, kind of piggybacking on what you just said, we know that you were cut after training camp. You were brought back and eventually called up to the active roster. And I see, according to your stats, that you made your NFL debut on October 6, 2019, against the Minnesota Vikings. You made 3 tackles, 2 for a loss. So take me back to that game experience, man. What was it like making that debut, and what was going through your mind coming from UTSA now out on the biggest stage?
Yeah, that was incredible. You know, I knew that some guys had been down and that I would, you know, be called upon that game. And so just that did everything I could to be ready that week. And sure, the time came and number was called, went in there and just did the best I could, you know. It was a crazy thought, you know. I had to keep pinching myself, it seemed like, to be like, this is, you know, this is what I've dreamed of, this is what I've worked for, and this is, you know, it's actually here in front of me, you know. And so yeah, and then I think something that helped me out to settle the nerves a little bit was just to remember that it's just football at the end of the day. You know, it is still football, even if it's at the highest level, football is football. And so if I just had fun with it, then, you know, everything else would, you know, fall into place. So it was a lot of fun, good learning experience, and something I'm looking forward to getting more of, you know, in the future years.
Now, to recap your rookie season, you ended up appearing in 12 games in 2019, 6 tackles, 5 solo, 2 for loss, 1 forced fumble. So as now you enter year number 2, Josiah, what are some things you're looking to improve upon?
I would say dependability. I want my teammates to be able to depend on me, you know, more than they could my rookie years, in terms of knowing my stuff, being where I'm supposed to be, being able to do my assignments, just being able to be plugged in any role, and knowing them, having the peace of mind, coaches and players, that I'd be able to do my job effectively, you know, when the time comes.
How have you been handling the COVID-19 shutdown? I know you mentioned that you've been staying at some relatives' house during this period, and the NFL has embraced the fully virtual off-season program. Walk us through that and what it's been like for you.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of weird. Me and my wife, we actually got married in July of last year, July 4th, and we had a small ceremony, real intimate, in my grandparents' house, you know, just to be legally married going into everything that was going to unfold in, you know, fall of 2019, and we're traveling and this and that. We wanted to be married for that time that we'd be living together, and so, but we were actually planning to have our ceremony, you know, the big, basically, you know, party celebration, April 2nd, a couple days before we went back for OTAs, had to report back for OTAs. So as it got closer to that, you know, we're having to wait on word from the venues and from the CDC of like what was going to be able to be allowed gathering wise, for weddings, what was going to be allowed for the NFL off season, if we were going to have to report for OTAs or not. And so the closer we got, the more we realized like, yeah, probably neither are actually happening. And so we canceled our, you know, our wedding. And then not long after, we got word that, you know, that the OTAs are going to be postponed. As the continued news kept coming out about, you know, the severity of the, you know, COVID, and the offseason kept getting pushed back. And then they finally came out with virtual off season and, you know, meeting through Zoom and this and that, and figuring out how that's going to work. So, I actually, as much as I miss, you know, being out there on the field and being around teammates and being in that locker room, that atmosphere, I have found that the off season, virtual off season is, you know, it's just as I'm able to learn just as well, you know, meeting through Zoom and kind of going at my own pace, looking at my playbooks and, you know, looking at my playbook and my notes throughout the day on my own time, and asking questions virtually. You know, it's yeah, you can't go up there and point on a board or draw, you know, right in front of someone. It is a little different than face to face, but you know, you're getting the same information essentially. So I think it's been good. I think the things that we're doing as a team is good, and I'm excited, you know, for when we do get to go back.
Now, Joe Judge is the first-year head coach for the New York Giants. He was hired after the 2019 season. So I know everything's been virtual, but can you give a little bit of an indication of how the team has responded to Joe Judge and the new coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everybody else, but I know personally just when he's talking, everybody's listening, you know, in a sense of you know, he commands when he's speaking, commands the room or virtual room right now. But, you know, just when he's talking, you want to listen and pay attention to what he has to say. It's, you know, I'm sure you could say that about a bunch of head coaches, but you can tell. But, you know, some of his interviews, he's just very well informed. And when he's not, he, you know, he'll be sure to tell you, you know, and say, I'll try to get these answers for you. He doesn't try to pretend like he's a know-it-all, but he's a very knowledgeable man in both football and just in life, you know. So seems like a really good guy, and I'm looking forward to the chance to meet him when that time comes.
The Giants defense, it's filled with a lot of young talent on the roster. You know, you got Jabril Peppers anchoring the secondary, Dexter Lawrence on the defensive line. And there's been a lot of change there in New York. Blake Martinez is now there. They signed him in free agency. So can you talk about your excitement to play with the group of young players that are ascending into dominant defenders?
Yeah, it's been really exciting to watch. Last year, you know, came in with Dex and a couple of those other guys, X, you know, all coming off the edge, and Julian Love in the backfield, and Ryan Connolly next to me. And but yeah, just and getting to see Jabril and how he works and his work ethic and his attention to detail, you know, and his intentionality. It's incredible to see. And so all these pieces coming together now with, you know, the offseason, you know, trades and free agency, just seeing how our defense is coming together. I'm you know, excited to get to work with those guys, you know, learn from them. It's been a great time, even virtually meeting with them and learning, you know, just, both from their experience and from what, you know, how they process this new playbook. It's been, I feel like, beneficial for everyone involved, you know? So being able to build that camaraderie virtually is pretty hard, but I feel like we're doing a pretty good job of it.
Before I let you go, Josiah, I know that you being an active member of the practice squad and then eventually getting called up, you got to see plenty of Saquon Barkley in practice, going up against the guy. We know he's regarded as one of the best running backs in the NFL. What is it like being teammates with him, and how does he make you a better player?
Yeah, as everyone knows, he's a monster, but it's the things, you know, that you might not get to see on Sundays, you know, that kind of separate him as the player he is, you know, constantly competitive, as you would expect, but in terms of like wanting to get treatment, you know, wanting to be the first one to get treatment or do this or do that, like he's just always pushing, you know. So seeing that, being around people like that, you know, it's not just him that does it, but being around people like that, you almost can't help but to want to do that as well. You know, you see someone going in for some extra treatment or staying for some extra reps, and being the competitor that we all are at this level, it's like, okay, I feel like I should do that too. You know what I'm saying? So it's that kind of stuff. It's that drive. It's that thing that, it's a lift as you climb mentality, you know, that guys have to have, you know, just in this business, you know, everybody that's in the locker room has that responsibility. So, but yeah, he's even in, we play each other in ping pong sometimes, and it gets heated, you know, even in that. So, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, Josiah, I know you're on a tight schedule, man. I appreciate you taking the time to join the podcast today, this Zoom-style interview. I wish you nothing but the best as you continue your preparations for the 2020 NFL season. So stay safe out there, and God bless, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you having me again.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.